95.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program today, and I'm going to be sharing a passage in the Word of God. It might take us a little bit longer than just this one program. Today, I want to talk to you about God being our source, the things that belong to Him, and how that should change the way that we live, because if we want to see those things in our life, then we need to recognize you can't go looking for the godly stuff in ungodly places. The best that you will achieve if you go looking for godly principles in ungodly places is a horrible counterfeit version that in the long run is not going to measure up. So we do want to encourage you. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit, be a part of what Merit Assembly of God is doing. We recognize the giftings that God has placed in each individual, and what a valuable part. We don't want you to miss out on the opportunity of sharing what God has done in your life. We also don't want you to miss out on sharing in what God has done in other people's lives. So let me just tell you, because I'm constantly encouraging people, if you do not have a church home, that you need to find a Bible preaching church. I realize that this radio program stretches all the way through Brevard County, from Titusville down to Palm Bay. I've heard that, you know, the signal reaches all the way into the Bahamas and down into the West Palm area via the FM dial, or the AM dial, I believe it is. But it also goes around the globe through the internet program. On WMIEFM.com. Not everybody is going to be able to come to Merit Assembly of God. That's just a reality. A lot of people have churches that they are already connected in. We are not trying to lure you away from those. We want you to get plugged in to those Bible preaching churches and be active in the kingdom of God, utilizing the skill set and the gifts that the Holy Spirit has placed in your life. We also know that a lot of people who listen to Christian radio are not able to come to church, some because of physical challenges or physical limitations. We understand that. But there's also a group of people who just don't. They, you know, whether it is something bad that has happened in the church in the past, whether it's somebody done somebody wrong song, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's you just got out of the habit of assembling together with other saints. And it's that group of people there that I want to encourage. You need the Church of the Living God. You need it. It is God's gift to you. And I encourage you to get back into the practice of going and finding the church that God has for you. And you would be amazed at the blessings that that God has in store for you. There's going to be dynamic relationships that you have. There's going to be teaching from the pulpit that is going to bless your heart. There's going to be praise and worship that is not the same as it is when you're just individually worshiping. There is a blessing that takes place when we get together to corporately worship. And as always, there's the moving of the Holy Spirit, where we tell people, look, this is God's house. And He is able to do, He has freedom to do whatever He wants to do. If He wants our agenda set aside so that His agenda takes precedent, we are perfectly fine with that. And so we want to encourage you, do find a church where you can get plugged in and that you can grow and serve in your faith. today we're going to kind of piggyback from one principle that we've been talking about, that doctrine belongs to God. We're going to take you to John, the 16th chapter, and we're going to look in verse number 12 is where we're going to begin. And then we're going to move in to another passage, because we want you to see that God is your source. First of all, we're going to start in John chapter 16, verse number 12. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So Jesus says that there was much revelation that he still wanted to impart. This was, you know, during his earthly ministry. And he said, "But I cannot share them with you now because you cannot bear them now." We have to be able to understand, to comprehend, and apply the truth. You know, when I was in school and we got to that point where we started transitioning to algebra, that it became a bit of a challenge. It was a completely different concept. But you couldn't understand algebra until you understood fractions. You couldn't understand fractions until you understood division. You couldn't understand division until you understood multiplication. And you couldn't do that until you understood addition and subtraction. There were a lot of basic principles that needed to be understood before you were able to grasp the concept of algebra. And then, even then, some people didn't get it. When I was teaching in Texas, it was one of the pillars of my teaching career, short-lived though it was, that God enabled me to help a person grasp the concept that was preventing them from breakthrough. They were a brilliant student, but there was one principle that kept being a stumbling block to them over and over and over again, and it had been for quite a while. And after much work, much prayer, God enabled me to share something, and literally it was revolutionary. Once they understood it, they were set for success on the next leg of their journey. If we cannot handle something that God wants to share with us, the solution to that is not just to throw up our hands and say, "Oh, well, I cannot bear them." That is not what Jesus said. "I want to share a lot of things with you, but you can't handle it." You know, think back to that old, Tom Cruise movie, "You can't handle the truth." That's not a permanent sentence. It's supposed to be a temporary situation. He said, "You cannot bear them now." So what is the responsibility? If we want to progress in our revelation and understanding of what God has to say to us, then we need to fortify ourselves, educate ourselves, equip ourselves so that we can handle the revelation that God wants us to have. And like we've talked about on another program, the way that we do that is how we have perceived Jesus already is how we must become. There has to be a transformative process. And Jesus doesn't do the transforming. We do. We are the people who change. We say, yes, God, change me. Make me whatever you need me to be so that I can be positioned to receive the things that you want me to understand. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, for whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So in this verse here, we see that the Holy Spirit is not a deceptive spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And he is assigned the responsibility of guiding the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ into all truth. The devil has done a masterful job in convincing people that the Holy Spirit is not to be trusted. I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit is assigned several responsibilities. You can read about them in just a few verses before. It says in verse number 5 of John 16, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, your sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is meant to be our helper. It is for our benefit. The Holy Spirit is not like the crazy uncle at the family reunion that shows up every once in a while and everybody just kind of pats him on the head and leaves him to do his own thing. That's not he's the third member of the Godhead. He is absolutely holy, absolutely true, absolute wisdom, and absolutely for our benefit. He is working for us to develop us to become the people that God wants us to be. He comes on assignment. Jesus said, "I'm going away so that he can come to you. I'm going to send him to you." Now, if I told you that Jesus wanted to give you salvation, almost everyone would say, "Absolutely, I want salvation." Well, with that same mindset, Jesus only offers good and perfect holy gifts. And so he wants the Holy Spirit as a active and leader and leading position in our lives. So he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. Now, I will tell you, we need the Holy Spirit right now because society is doing an all-out assault on trying to redefine sin. People who cannot control their tongue have no definition of what sin is, and yet they're trying to tell other people that they're sinning. People who have no self-control in their life, they're trying to tell people, well, the problem is you're sinning. People who are violating the law are actually trying to tell the people who are obeying the law, you're the one that's sin. Good is in the process of being redefined as evil, and evil is in the process of being redefined and boasted of as good. We need the Holy Spirit. All of that is evidence. We need the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. You say, well, why doesn't he convict us? Well, if we have become Christians, he's already dealt with that matter in our life and still does. But society desperately needs a holy people who are in love with a holy God, and the Holy Spirit is leading us in a lifestyle of holiness. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit, against such things there is no law. There's no law that can prevent it, no law that can stop it. It is going to happen. We need the Holy Spirit. If we want to see more souls saved in our churches, we need the Holy Spirit. He is also tagged with the responsibility of convicting the world of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit deals with people of unbelief so that they can become people of belief. He deals with them concerning righteousness because, look, Jesus said, I'm going to ascend to my Father and you're going to see me no more. And in order to be received by the Heavenly Father, there's only one way that you can do that, and that is through righteousness. Jesus lived a righteous and holy life, and he imparts that and imputes it to us. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but the righteousness that comes to us through Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, allows us access to the throne of grace. And it says, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Used to be that when kids were learning their first Bible verse, most of the time it was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was John 3:16 and 17. Now, about the only Bible verse that people know is judge not, lest you be judged. And that they misapply. They take it out of context. They don't believe that there is ever a day of judgment that is coming. And so that's one of the reasons that you see such an assault on legal enforcement here in America right now. Some of it is due to abuse. Let's say that. It happens. You know, I had a person that brought some apples by the church, and we had them out there for a while, and I said, you know what, I need to get those apples to the dumpster before fruit flies start filling the house of God. And, you know, we had given them, and so I took them out there, and when I did, I noticed that there was already an apple down at the bottom, while the ones up on the top were looking healthy. And I mean, they looked like they had just come off of the tree. There was an apple down at the bottom that was completely rotten all the way through and through. It didn't look like the others. It didn't have the same size as the others. I'm sure it didn't smell like the others. I know it wouldn't have tasted like the others. It was a completely and totally bad apple. But that didn't prevent many of the other apples from being utilized. Okay? So there is a day of judgment that is coming, and the Holy Spirit is trying to work with people to know that the ruler of this world is judged. He's already been found guilty of rebellion, already been cast out of heaven. But there is a day of judgment, a day of accounting that is coming. The Holy Spirit brings all of these things into people's lives and revelation. So, it says that he will guide you into all truth. So, one of our adults at church ran a... He started a Bible school in Fiji, and I've been there and ministered with him. But he said when he sits down to study the Word of God, he prays, and he says, Holy Spirit, the Word of God says that you are in charge of guiding me into all truth. So I'm asking you right now to do your job. And that's the easiest thing in the world to do, is God is going to do the thing that he is assigned to do. Now, here's one of the things that people don't like to mention, and that is this. If the Holy Spirit is guiding us into all truth, that means he's going to be leading us away from some false promise or premises, some false concepts that we may have had in our lives before. So in order for us to say yes to being led by the Holy Spirit into all truth, we've got to be willing to say, I was mistaken, or I was wrong. But it is a setup for us to saying, thank you, Lord, that you loved me too much to leave me in error. It says, he will guide you into all truth, and here's how he does that. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, he will speak. What does it say in Revelation? Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And most of those words had a corrective element to them. There was an encouragement element to them, but there was also a reward element. It says, if you will allow me to do what I want to do in this situation, you are going to receive things that you have never received before. So the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And it says he will tell you things to come. Now, a lot of people want to hear the foretelling aspect. The foretelling aspect? What's to come? You know, what am I supposed to do with this situation? But you've got to understand, God wants us to be able to hear the general revelation of God's word. And as we learn his voice, then we will be able to discern his specific revelation for our situation and our circumstance. It says, he will glorify, take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the things that he hears are meant to be declared by the Holy Spirit to you and I. I will also tell you this, the things that you receive are supposed to be passed on to other people. Paul, every month we celebrate communion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, I believe it is, Paul says, I have the things that I received from the Lord, those I have passed on to you. That the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and blessed it and broke it and said, here, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. So the things that you hear, make sure that you don't become the end of the line. You are just a pass-through. The Holy Spirit will take the words of Jesus, and he will distribute it. He will pass it along. He will, the teaching of God, he will put it into our lives. He will declare it to us. And Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus said, the things that I hear my Father say, those are the things that I say. The things that I see my Father do, those are the things that I do. And then he says this, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. It's not going to be greater in magnitude or greater and holiness, but I will tell you this, when all of the saints of God are walking in the supernatural revelation that the Holy Spirit brings into us, fresh from the throne room of heaven, we can touch a whole lot of people in a very short period of time. So he says, therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's where we are going to be. Tomorrow, We're running pretty close on time here. We've just got about 2.5 minutes till the end of the program today. But we're going to go back into the Old Testament tomorrow for that broadcast, and we are going to look at some of the things that belong to God. And, you know, it's amazing the number of people who are looking for these things to manifest in their life, but they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking to the world. They're looking to their education system. They're looking to their network of friends and all of that sort of stuff. And really, the place that they should be looking, the place that promises that they will receive those things, is they should be looking to God, because they belong to Him, and He's not hoarding them. He's not hiding them. He's not depriving anybody else. He is there, and He says, you know, if you will come to Me, I want to make this available to everybody. Not just pastors, not just teachers. I want to make them available to everybody. I'm here to tell you, the things that we see, even though some of the things that we see are great, are phenomenal, that we see going on in the world from a spiritual perspective, I want to tell you, we are living beneath the provision that God has for us, because He wants His Spirit poured out upon all flesh, all men, all women, all sons, all daughters, all socioeconomic brackets, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. He wants great things being done. He wants us to listen. It says this: the people that know their God shall do great exploits, even in times of adversity. So that's what we got looking forward to tomorrow. I pray that you will join us again, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on 91.5 FM, 10:30 on WWBC, 1510 AM. God bless you. We'll see you in 23 and a half hours. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Breathe.